Amen. At this morning, we have an interesting topic before us as our time to go home is drawing near. We have to bring ourselves to remembrance. I'm not standing here this morning to share something that you have not heard. No. I am not going to present another thing. No. I am only going to present what you have been hearing from time to time. I'm going to present a very simple topic to you this morning that we need to bring to our remembrance as the day is drawing near. And this morning, as you will listen patiently, the Lord will bless you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, let's see. This morning we shall be looking at the inseparable twins of salvation, which is faith and repentance. Can we echo that topic together? One, two, go. We can do better. Thank you. The inseparable twins of salvation. Now, as we embark on this journey to heaven, we have to understand some certain things which will help us as we continue this journey. And some of the things that will help us in this journey to heaven, from earth to heaven, is what we are looking at this morning. And that is, we are looking at faith and repentance. You cannot separate them. You can't separate faith from repentance. And you can't separate repentance from faith because they are twins. When we say something is a twins, you can't separate them. It's either they are identical twins or they are fraternal twins. Now, this faith and repentance may look fraternal. That is, they may not look the same. But as we continue this journey, you can't do without the other. You cannot do without them. When we call something inseparable, no matter how you try to separate them, you will always see that they work together. That is why they are called twins. And the Lord will help us as we move on in Jesus' name. Mark chapter 1 from 14 to 15. Let's look at it briefly. Now, we move into the word of God. For faith comes by hearing. So this morning, the Lord wants to actually encourage you. The Lord wants to give you more faith. As we come every day, we are building our faith. Listen to what the Lord has to tell us this morning. Now, after John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God. He was preaching what? The gospel of the kingdom of God. And what was this gospel of the kingdom? Verse 15. And saying, the time is what? Can you say that the time is what? Fulfilled. Now it is the time. Let's look at this, the twins. And the kingdom of God is where? Is it far? It's no longer far. In fact, it's nearer. The kingdom of God is nearer to us than you can ever think of. This thing was written about 2,000 years ago. Eh? And now look at it. The kingdom of God is at hand. What are the twins? Repent ye and believe the word. You can't separate them. Repentance and faith, belief, is inseparable. Jesus was preaching the gospel of the kingdom. And the gospel of the kingdom is the gospel of what? Repentance and what? And faith. You can't separate them. They are inseparable. So Jesus began his ministry by preaching these two things, these twins. And what are they? Repentance and what? And faith. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Let's look at the introduction. Salvation is God's gracious provision for sinful humanity through the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. We receive salvation by grace. Yes. However, the Bible presents a definite response that God requires from the sinner. You see, God is not going to do these two things for you. God is not going to come down and repent for you. No, you are to repent. Repentance is what you do. It's not God that is going to repent for you. You repent. So as for sinners, God is calling all sinners to repentance and what? And faith. Let's move on. When Jesus began his earthly ministry, his message was very what? Clear. It wasn't ambiguous at all. He wasn't speaking big grammar. He did not begin his ministry with grammar. No, he began his ministry with simple message. And what is the message? Repent and believe the gospel. It's not a grammar. It's not a grammar. And when you see people handle the mic today and they begin to blow grammar as if the message of the cross is about grammar. No, it's very simple that even a market woman can be able to understand the message. And what is the message? Repent and what? Believe the gospel. So, he said, the time is fulfilled and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. Notice that Jesus did not say only repent. Nor did he say only words, believe. He joined the two together. Jesus did not preach one-legged gospel. The gospel that of our salvation is not a one-legged gospel that people are preaching today. Jesus did not separate repentance from what? Believe. He joined the two together. He joined the two together by saying, repent ye and believe the gospel. So this morning, I am not standing here to separate them. I am not standing to say something different. Our daddy in the Lord have taught us many things about repentance and faith in Christ. So I'm not standing here to preach another thing. I am only standing to build on the same faith that you have received from our fathers. And that faith is about repentance and what? Believing the gospel. Let's move on. Repentance and faith are therefore like inseparable twins in biblical conversion. Before there can be conversion, these two things, you must take note. You can't separate them. They are distinct. The fact that they look separate, the fact that they don't look alike, you cannot separate them. But they belong to what? To the same God. They belong to the same way of salvation. Repentance deals with our attitude towards sin. How you respond after hearing the gospel is talking about repentance. Why faith deals with our response to what? To Christ. After you have repented, you turn to Christ. Repentance is turning from sin. There is no way we can preach the gospel of the kingdom without talking about turning away from what? From sin. Any gospel that is not turning people from sin, that is not talking about these two inseparable twins, that gospel can never take you to heaven. It can never take you to heaven. Christ, now, faith deals with our response to Christ. Repentance is turning from sin and self. Faith is turning to Christ and trusting him. That is faith. When you turn from sin, you must trust in the Lord. A person who claims to have faith but refuses to turn from sin has misunderstood biblical faith. Biblical faith is not a faith that what? That cannot talk about repentance. A biblical faith is the faith that moves with what? Repentance. They must work together. Likewise, a person who admits his sins but refuses to trust Christ has not experienced saving faith. So if a person admits, I'm a sinner, and you fail to trust Christ for the salvation of your soul, that person has not really repented. The Apostle Paul summarized his ministry in these words. Let's look at Acts 20, verse 21. Let's look at the summary of the ministry of the Apostle Paul. Acts 20 and verse 21. Quickly, as we move on. Paul was testifying both to the Jews, you see, the religious one, those who think they know the way of the Lord, like we have today. Many of them, the Jews, represent the religious ones that we have today. But Paul was testifying. What was it that Paul was testifying? And also to the Greeks, the philosophers of his time, the theologians, the philosophers of his time, Paul was testifying something to them, the Greeks. What was he testifying to them? A repentance towards who? Let's read it together. Repentance towards who? And faith towards our Lord Jesus. You cannot separate them. That is, they are inseparable. That is the gospel. That is the summary of the gospel of Paul to the people. Let's move on. The next slide. Therefore, this study will help us understand these two essential elements of salvation and why they must not be separated. In the course of this study, the brief time we have before us, we are going to see how inseparable they are. That without them, you cannot truly say that you are going to heaven. The study is briefly divided into three. One, what is repentance and faith? Briefly, we shall look at what repentance is and what faith is. And the second one, we shall look at why are faith and repentance inseparable. So people have tried to separate them. But in the course of this study, we are going to look at why you cannot. Why they have tried, but they cannot separate them. We are going to look at it. And then the third thing we are going to look at under this study is reasons why one is imbalanced without the what? The other. We are going to look at it. Why is it that when you stand on repentance and you say no to faith, your salvation experience is imbalanced? Why is it that if you stand on faith, you say you believe, and you stand on faith alone, and you say no, you are not going to turn from your sin, that your salvation experience is what? Imbalance. The gospel of this morning, the gospel of the kingdom, the gospel that we are preaching from this podium is a balanced gospel. It's a two-legged gospel. It is the gospel of repentance and what? And faith towards God. And as we embark on this journey, the Lord will help us and open our eyes of understanding more to know these things in Jesus' name. The first one, what is repentance? What is repentance? I know because of time, if I want to ask now, many people will give us their own definitions of what repentance is. To some people, repentance is when they move from one church to another. Moving from one church to another is good, but that is not repentance. What is repentance? Repentance is more than feeling sorry for sin, regret. Some people, it is when they are hearing the gospel, that is when they have sorry. They regret, not because they want to change. Biblical repentance involves a change of what? Everybody? Mind. Until your mind is changed, you have not repented. So biblical repentance is a change of mind, a change of heart, a change of your attitude, and direction concerning sin and words and God. So you cannot say that you have repented without changing from sin. So what is biblical repentance? Biblical repentance is changing from sin. Changing those attitudes that is against the word of God. You all know what sin is. Repentance is you are facing a direction before and you are driving. You are going on a direction. All of a sudden, you heard something. After hearing that thing, maybe someone told you, there is danger ahead. There is danger ahead. What are you to do? What is repentance? Repentance is you don't continue that journey again. What do you have to do now? You change. That is repentance. Until you change your heart, until you change your attitude, your character, the way you behave with one another, the way we relate with one another, until you change, you have not experienced what is known as biblical repentance. It is turning away from sin and turning towards God. That is Bible repentance. Turning, until you turn away from sin, you have not experienced what is known as biblical repentance. And this morning, the Lord will give us that change of mind, that change of attitude, that new heart in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So, repentance simply means it involves turning from sin. I've said that. True repentance produces a change of words. Direction. Until your direction, until you change the direction you are going, until you change the way you are doing things, you have not repented. A person cannot genuinely say, I have repented. Why deliberately continue to embrace the very word? Sin he claims to have abandoned. You said you have changed. You said you have repented. And the thing you were doing before, the music you were listening to before, the kind of dressing you used to put on before, the kind of dance you used to dance before, you are still doing them. Then what is down? What is the repentance? What is it that you have repented from? You are still painting your lips. You are still painting your fingers. You are still putting on all those things on your ears. You are still coloring your ears. You still color them. That it doesn't matter. Then what is now the repentance? What have you changed from? When you were in the other place before, are those not things you used to do? Now that you have changed the address of your church, to Bride Assembly Church, why are you still doing those things? Ezekiel 18 and verse 30. Ezekiel 18, verse 30. Therefore, I will judge you. Who is talking there? Hey. Who is talking? I will judge you, O house of Israel. Is God talking to unbelievers here? The house of Israel, are they unbelievers? So this message is for us. It's for you and I. Let us examine ourselves. It is a call to examine ourselves. Before God's judgment rewards, we come. O house of Israel, everyone according to his word, ways, sayeth, the Lord God, repent and turn yourself from all your words, your transgressions. So iniquities shall not be your ruin. The Lord is saying that except we repent, if we don't repent, iniquity is going to do what? It's going to ruin. Iniquity kills. Sin kills. Number two, repentance simply involves turning to God. After turning from sin, you now turn to who? You turn from sin. That is repentance. When you turn from sin, you don't turn to self. When you turn from sin, you don't turn to Satan. When you turn from sin, you don't turn to the world. You turn to who? To God. That is repentance. Repentance is not merely turning from something. It is also turning to someone, to God. That is it. Look at your neighbor and say, turn to God. Say it loud and clear now. Turn to God. That is repentance. You are to turn to God. Turn to God. Acts chapter 3 and verse 19. Acts chapter 3, verse 19. Acts 3, 19. Repent ye therefore. That is after that healing was done at the beautiful gate and the people were gathered. They were looking at John and Peter as if they were the one that did it. And so when Peter wanted to speak to them, what was his message to the people? Repent ye therefore. And be what? And be what? Converted. See, for a conversion to take place, there must first be what? Repentance. Repentance is you have a change of mind. You cannot be converted without first having a change of mind. Before you can change from the direction you are going, there must be something first. It must come from within. Before conversion can take place, the heart must first think of changing, that your sins may be blotted out. When the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of what? Of the Lord. Listen. Without repentance and conversion, your sins cannot be what? Blotted out. Some people run to Bride Assembly Church only to come and do baptism so that they can be protected from the witches and the wizard that is what? Disturbing them. Okay? But listen, before that your sin that the enemy is accusing you for, before that sin can be blotted out, it's not only changing of church or coming to bride. If you don't repent from that sin, and you even go for water baptism without repentance and conversion, the enemy will still come after you. See, water baptism is very good. But without repentance, it is just equal to you going to bath. Look at it. He said, repent ye first. Repent. After the water baptism, don't continue in the sin again. Or else, it is just equal to bathing. You have just gone to bath another water in Bride Assembly Church. After the baptism, the Lord is looking at your heart. He's looking at your attitude. He's looking at your behavior. After the baptism, you go on and what? And repent. And then what? Have a change of heart. There be a conversion. Then the Lord will send what? A refreshing moment is going to come. What is refreshing? Then there is going to be restoration. It is after repentance and conversion that refreshing comes. If you don't repent and be converted, you can never be refreshed. You can never see rest. Refreshment is rest. Refreshment is restoration. All that the enemy has taken away from you, after all that you have done, if you don't repent and what? And believe the gospel, you cannot receive rest. You cannot receive restoration. Refreshing moment is a moment of restoration. Before you can be restored, you must first repent and be converted from your sins. They work together. Oh, why is it that I have not been restored? Why is it that I have not received it? Have you repented from your sins? Why have I not been restored? Have you repented? Have you been converted? You cannot continue in the sin and say that refreshing moment, restoration should come. No, restoration only comes after repentance and what? And conversion. We move on to the next one. Repentance produces evidence of a changed life. That's what I'm talking about. John the Baptist taught that genuine repentance should produce what? Visible fruit. Visible. It's not just a thing of the mouth. Let us see it. It must be visible. Repentance is therefore not merely an emotional experience. Genuine repentance eventually manifests itself in a change words, conduct. Unless your attitude change, you have not genuinely repented. Genuine repentance is a change of attitude. It's a change of character. Sister, brother, you cannot be getting angry as you used to do before. And then when they ask you, brother, why do you normally go angry? Sister, why do you know? I say, this one, I resemble my papa with that anger. I cannot leave that, you know. You can no longer resemble your father. You must resemble Jesus now. Repentance is you resemble Jesus now. You can't, everybody beg you to leave that matter. You say, lie, you are not going to leave it. And you say you have repented? From what have you repented? Forgive your brother now. You say, lie, I will never forgive her. I will never forgive him. No matter what, take it to anywhere. I will not. You have not repented. You have not had a change of mind. You have not believed the gospel. You have only changed a church address. Matthew 3 and verse 8, John the Baptist was telling the people that came out, bring forth therefore, what? What are we to bring forth? Let's read it together. Bring forth therefore what? Fruits, meat for what? Let us see. A fruit is known. A tree is known by the what? By the fruit. Now that you have changed your church address, let us see a change in your character. Don't just change church. Change your behavior as well. Bring out fruit. Let people outside here, let people even in the church see that you are now a changed person. Let's move on. The fourth one, God commands all people to repent. It is a commandment of God. Repentance is a commandment of God. Repentance is not optional. God commands every sinner to what? To repent. Acts 17 and verse 30. Acts 17 and verse 30. Let's look at that briefly. Acts chapter 17. And the times of these words, ignorance, the time that we did not know, God we could act. But now, what is God telling everyone now? Commanded that all men everywhere towards. The time that you do not, see, time of ignorance has passed. You are now hearing the real thing. So what is God telling you this morning? Repent. Have a change of what? Of heart. Have a change of attitude. Sister, you cannot be dressing the same way again after hearing the truth. Brother, you cannot be behaving that way again or beating your wife or doing all those things or going to that nightclub after meeting Christ, after hearing the gospel. Let's move on. Let's move on. And now, what is faith? Biblical faith is trusting, it is believing, and it is relying upon God and His word, His words, especially upon Jesus Christ as the only sufficient Savior from sin. That is biblical faith. Faith is trusting, faith is resting. Trusting, believing in Christ as the only one who can save us from our sins. Let's look at it continually. Faith believes God's words. Faith believes. Faith believes. The book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17 says, let's look at it. Romans 10, 17. Faith comes by hearing the word. So then, faith cometh by what? Hearing. And hearing by the word of God. As you are hearing the word this morning, that is how faith comes. If you don't hear about something, how can you have faith in it? God is giving us opportunity to hear about this thing this morning because He wants you to have that faith in Him. So faith comes by hearing. So biblical faith is believing what you hear. If you don't believe what you hear, you have not received the Bible faith. So Bible faith is trusting, believing in the word of the Lord. Number two, faith is trust in Jesus Christ. You are not believing in any man. You are believing in only one mediator between man and God. And what is His name? The Lord Jesus Christ. That is faith. It is for you to trust in Jesus. Saving faith is not merely believing that Jesus Christ exist. It is personally trusting and receiving what? Him. You must trust and you must receive Him. After hearing the word, you must trust in the word and you must receive the word. For the Bible says in John chapter 1 verse 12, John chapter 1 verse 12, but as many as what? Receive Him. To them He gave what? Power. It is after they receive Him. They had something. After they had it, they received the gospel that they had. To them, God gave what? Power to become the sons of what? Of God. Even them that believe on His word, name. So after hearing, you must believe. After hearing, you must receive it. Not to just say, chai, this brother, they preach, oh, that one, it will add nothing to me. Our pastor can preach, oh, it will add nothing to the pastor. What did you do with the message? After hearing, did the message touch you? If it touches you, let us see the touch by the change of your behavior. So it is after you receive, then the power to change comes from receiving it. So let's move on to what is faith. Faith is necessary for salvation. You cannot separate it. It is necessary. It is not compulsory. It is necessary. Salvation is by God's grace and received through faith, not earned by human works. There is nothing you can do than to believe. Believe and turn to Christ. It is not, You don't earn salvation by doing anything. It is received by grace. Let's see the book of Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace are ye what? Saved. Through what? Faith. Don't forget the two inseparable twins of salvation. Faith and what? Repentance. And that not of yourself, it is the gift of what? Of God. That faith is not of yourself. It is a gift of God. Not of what? Works. It's not by doing anything. Lest any man should what? Should boast that I am able to save by doing this, by fasting, by prayer. Prayer is good, fasting is good, but none of them can make you to receive salvation. Salvation is freely given after you place your trust in Christ. Faith rests in Christ rather than human righteousness. Faith looks away from self and looks to who? To Christ. Biblical faith is to look away from self. Biblical faith is to look to Christ alone. The book of Philippians chapter 3 and verse 9. And be not found in him, that is in Christ, not having my own words. Righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of who? Of Christ. The righteousness which is of God by faith. It is not of works. It is not, see, the righteousness that we are talking about here, it is the righteousness which is of faith. Faith in Christ and Christ alone. The book of Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his word, mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. It is not by anything. It is only by faith. Faith in Christ. Let's move on. And the Lord will help us and give us that biblical faith in Jesus' name. We look at the second part of our study. Why are faith and repentance inseparable? Why can't people have tried many times to separate them? Why are they inseparable? Why can't you separate repentance from faith? Why can't faith be separated from what? Repentance. Faith and repentance are distinct. Don't forget. They are twins, so. But these kind of twins, they do not look alike. And that's why they are called fraternal twins. There are twins that don't look alike. But the monk will tell you, see, they were born the same time. So faith and repentance, they do not look alike. Oh, but in the journey from earth to glory, they walk together. You cannot separate them. They walk together. It is turning away from sin and turning towards who? Towards God. Let's move on. Why are faith and repentance inseparable? Why can't we separate faith from repentance or repentance from faith? Jesus commanded both together. Jesus did not separate. At the beginning of his ministry, he did not separate faith from repentance. At the starting of his ministry, he did not separate repentance from what? From faith. Because they are twins. You can't separate them. In the book of Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. Mark chapter 1 and verse 15. And saying, this is Jesus Christ at the beginning of his ministry. What was he saying? The time is what? Fulfilled. And the kingdom of God is where? It is at hand. Repent ye. It's a commandment. And believe the words. The gospel. You cannot say you repent and then you don't believe. You cannot say you believe and you don't remain and you remain in your sin. No, no. You must change. The two works together. You can't separate them. Because it was commanded by the Lord. And what? Something that is called a commandment. What do? You obey. Your own is not a question. Your own is to what? Obey. Obey that commandment. What is the commandment? Repent and what? And believe the gospel. You can't separate them because it was commanded by the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's look at the second reason why we can't separate them. Repentance turns us from sin. This is why you cannot separate them. And faith turned us to who? To Christ. That is why you can't separate them. Repentance is turning you from sin. And faith is, after you have turned from your sin, you turn to who? To Christ. So until you turn to Christ, you have never been repented. You have never repented from your sin. So until you turn to Christ, then and then alone we can say that you have repented. Let's look at Luke chapter 15 and verse 18. Luke 15 and verse 18. Look at the prodigal son. After he came to the realization of himself, look at what he says. I will do what? I will arise. He has come back to his sense. After so much suffering, I want to ask you this morning, for how long are you going to sit down in that sin? For how long are you going to be thinking about how to leave that sin? For how long are you going to sit down there and be suffering and say, after I've given my life to Christ, things just they hard. Things are becoming hard, hard, hard. Won't you arise and go to what? And go to my Father. And I will say unto him, Father, I have what? Sinned against heaven. And before who? Before thee. That is it. Until, you see, the two works together. He came to himself and then he says, I will arise and go. And now, I have turned away from my Father before. Now I'm going back to my Father. The Lord will give us that heart this morning in Jesus' name. So, it is repentance, which means turning from sin and turning to Christ. Let's look at what and why they are inseparable. Biblical preaching connects them. Connect both. Any true preacher of the gospel must connect the two. But we have preachers today who separate one from the other. And you go and look at their members. Go and look at such congregation where only all they discuss is faith, faith in God, faith to receive, faith, 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 faith to receive. What about repentance? A true biblical preaching or preacher must connect the two. Paul described the message of his ministry in Acts 20 and verse 21. Acts 20 and 21. Testifying, that is Paul, both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. What was he testifying to them? Repentance towards who? Towards God. And faith towards our Lord Jesus Christ. The two work together. A true biblical preaching must always connect the two. Repentance is towards God. And faith is what? Towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, they belong to the same salvation what? Experience. If you experience one without the other, you have not really experienced what it means to believe in Christ. Let's move on and see. True faith produces a changed life. If you say that you truly believe in Christ, we shall see it, not by wearing apron. Faith is not by wearing apron. It is by a change of heart. It is by a change of what? Character. True faith produces a changed life. If a person claims to believe Christ but deliberately refuses to obey him, his claim to faith must be what? Examined. Many people say they believe, but their life is totally against the Bible. Let's see the book of James chapter 2 and verse 17. James 2, 17. Even so, faith, if it hath not what? Works. What is works? Repentance. If your faith does not have repentance, if there is no works to prove that you believe the gospel, if there is no change of character, if there is no change of behavior, that your faith is what? Read it now. That your faith is dead. Any faith that does not produce repentance is a dead faith. And it's not acceptable. A dead faith cannot take you to heaven. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, and you know, we come into Christ by the same word, baptism of Holy Ghost. Now, if any man be in Christ, the person that is in Christ, he is what? a new creature. You said you are in Christ, brother, but you are not different from the way you are doing things. It's not different. Then what? How are you a new creature? New creature is of the heart. New creature is not changing of your skin color. No, it is changing of your heart. When Christ comes into you, he works in your heart. All things are passed away. Old lifestyle, old dressings, old behaviors, old singings, old associations, they are passed away. Behold, all things are become what? New. You cannot separate them. You can't separate them. There must be a change of life. A biblical faith must produce a changed life. Let's move on. Repentance prepares the heart to receive Christ. Without you repenting from your sins after hearing the gospel, Christ cannot come in to have his dwelling. Luke 18 and verse 13. Luke 18 and verse 13. Luke chapter 18. And the publican, look at it, went to the temple to pray. The publican now, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote his chest, his breast, saying, God, be what? Be merciful to me, what? A sinner. After recognizing, you turn to Christ. Repentance prepares the heart. That is a heart that is ready to receive Christ. A heart that is ready to receive Christ must first acknowledge his word, his sins. The publican recognizes his sins. And yet we have people here who have spent 20 years, 15 years, but they never recognizes anything that is being preached on this podium. They don't understand it. Next, let's move on. Reasons why one is imbalanced without the other. As we come to the conclusion of our study this morning, we shall be looking at what? Reasons why one is imbalanced without the other. We have said it, and we have known that this podium was erected to preach to us a balanced what? Gospel. And the balanced gospel is not a one-legged gospel. It is a gospel that is what? Balanced, standing, and that is why God gave us two, our hands, our legs. Do you think so that we can stand erect, so that we can stand balanced. Faith without repentance can become what? A mere intellectual belief. Why we cannot what? We cannot do without the other. Why one is imbalanced without the other is, if you say you have faith and you do not repent, then that your faith is not different from what? It is just an intellectual word, faith that you have. Intellectual. And we have many of them outside here that are preaching faith. And what kind of faith? How do you know? It is just an intellectual. That faith does not go with what? Repentance. That sister is saying she has faith, but she has faith, but she's wearing mini skirts with faith. That brother is saying he has faith, but there is nothing different in the life of that brother. That faith is just an intellectual faith. And so many preachers today have what? Intellectual faith, faith of the brain. And let's see that faith in James chapter 2 and verse 19. James 2 and verse 19. Thou believest that there is one God, that is the faith that we are talking about. The faith that the devils have. The intellectual faith. Thou doest well. The devils also what? Oh, you believe in one God, right? You don't believe in Trinity, okay. The devil also what? Believe. And he what? Even tremble. Did you tremble? Do you fear? The devil even tremble. But that faith of the devil, what kind of faith it is? Intellectual faith. Because the fact that they believe there is one God, do they obey him? You believe also that God is one. Do you obey that God? And since you have believed in one God, how far is your life changed? The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. So intellectual faith is the faith that believes without a change of life. Reasons why one is balanced without the other is repentance without faith leaves a person looking at his own sin without what? Receiving Christ. If you say you repent and you don't believe, it will just, see, you, there is no way you can say you believe and you don't what? Repent. It will just leave you to what? Just looking at your sin. After you say you repent, you must turn to who? To Christ. 2 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 10. 2 Corinthians 7 and verse 10. For godly sorrow, after Paul has written the first and the second letter, the first letter he was able to address some of the issues in the church. And then now, the second letter is trying to tell them something very important. For godly sorrow worketh what? Repentance to salvation. There is the godly sorrow. It is only the godly sorrow that can bring what? Repentance to what? To salvation. There is another sorrow. But the sorrow of the world, this message, but after her, after this message, there was no repentance. That one is the sorrow of what? Of the world. No change. After her, this message touched me, this message now, wow. But it's just a sorrow. If this message really touched you, then where is the fruit? Where is the evidence? But worldly sorrow brings death. It brings you, it separates you from God. After regret, after sorrow, did you change from that sin? If there is no repentance following the message, then it is just nothing but worldly sorrow, which cannot bring you to Christ. It is only godly sorrow that brings what? Repentance to salvation. And God will give us that sorrow, that godly sorrow this morning in Jesus' name. Let's move on as we bring it to close. Faith without repentance does not deal seriously with sin. Faith preaches. So everywhere, believe God, believe with your mouth. Confess with your mouth. See, those who preach faith and they don't take a look at repentance, they don't take sin seriously. Those who hold on to only faith to receive, faith for this, faith for breakthrough, faith for to climb mountain, faith to come down from mountain, without what? Without repentance, they don't what? They don't take sin seriously. Go to those congregations that only hammer on faith without telling their members to change from their sins. You will see that there is nothing there other than what? Carnality displaying in their mix, because they don't take sin serious. Because their own is faith to receive. All they were taught is how to receive from God. But what about the change of life? Nothing. Their pastors don't have time for that. Repentance. Who is preaching about repentance? Repentance from what? Churches don't have time for repentance. Come as you are and remain as you are. Romans chapter 6, verse 1 and 2. For us, who is on this journey to heaven, look at what the Bible has to tell us. What shall we say then? What shall we say? Shall we continue in what? That grace may what? Abound. Faith preachers, grace preachers. If you see, some of them will say, if you see me do anything, it's not me, it's the sin in you. The sin in you, Jesus have not changed that sin, Abi. That sin will take you to hell. Because the coming of the gospel is two. It's two. You can't separate. You can't say you believe Christ and you don't repent from your sins. Matthew chapter 1 verse 21 says, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from what? From what? And then you say you believe in that Jesus and you continue in your sin. The Bible says, God what? Forbid. God forbid. How can you say you believe the gospel of Jesus Christ and you remain in your sin and you sit down in that stubbornness and you sit down in that old behavior? God forbid. God forbid. Let's move on. See the next part of it. Repentance without faith can leave a person trusting in self-effort. Another thing they do, those who hold on to repentance, is without faith in Christ, they are doing it by self-effort. Some people recognize their sins and attempt to reform themselves. See, repentance is not reformation, but never place their trust in Christ. However, salvation is not achieved by personal reformation. I'm not saying because you see others are not doing it, so you too, you are not doing it. Let that you are not doing it be according to faith. Let it be based on the revelation of God's word. God's works cannot replace faith in Christ. Good works, please. Good works. Oh, you are doing good. You pray. You don't fight. You don't do this. You don't smoke. You don't. All of those things, they are good works. They are good works. But none of your good works can take you to where? To heaven. The book of Titus chapter 3 and verse 5. Good works cannot. Not by the works of what? Righteousness, which we have done. Salvation is not by doing good. Doing good is part of it, but doing good cannot take you to heaven. See, you can't say you believe and you will not do good, though. You will do good, but let your doing good be after your salvation, which we have done. But according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Ghost. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Let's move on as we come to the final part. Separating faith and repentance distorts the gospel. That is why many people are preaching a distorted gospel. A separate gospel. A gospel that cannot save. How? They are preaching a gospel that stands on only one leg. And they say no to the second leg. Which is, some stand on only faith. Some are standing on only repentance. So it distorts the gospel. If a preacher should dwell more on faith, without talking about repentance, that message is distorted. The two must be what? Balanced. Acts chapter 26 and verse 20. Acts 26 and verse 20. But look at Paul before King Agrippa. But showed first unto them of Damascus, that is Paul, before King Agrippa, when he was witnessing Christ, and at Jerusalem, and throughout all the coast of Judea, and then to Gentiles. Paul was preaching. As he was going from Damascus to Jerusalem, from Jerusalem to all of Judea, he was preaching, even to the Gentiles. What was his message? That they should what? Oh, church, that they should what? Repent and turn to who? To God. And do works. Works meet for repentance. You can't separate them. You can't separate them. You can't separate them. And the Lord will help us in Jesus' name. In conclusion, this morning, faith and repentance are rightly described as inseparable twins of salvation because Scripture repeatedly places them together. Go out, go through the Scriptures. You will always see the preachers of the Scripture bringing the two together. They are always, you can't separate them because the Scripture has commanded that, the Lord has commanded that they must go together. It's a commandment. Repent and believe. You can't separate them. It's a commandment. Repentance deals with our relationship to sin. We turn away from sin. Repentance is you turning away from sin. Turning away from Satan. Repentance is turning away from the old ways. Repentance is changing your attitude. Faith deals with our relationship to who? To Christ. As you turn from sin, who do you turn to now? To Christ. You don't turn to yourself. If you turn to yourself, it becomes self what? Righteousness. We turn to him and trust him. True salvation is not merely an emotional experience or an intellectual acceptance of Christ's doctrine or an attempt or a moral improvement. It is a genuine turning to God through faith in Christ Jesus, accompanied by repentance from sin. Let us therefore remember this morning, as I bring it to close, let's remember that repentance without faith is what? Can we say it? Incomplete. And faith without repentance is what? Can we echo it very well? Distorted. But repentance and faith together point the sinner to who? Christ, Jesus Christ, the only what? Savior. And this morning, Lord, we bless us in Jesus' name. Shall we bow down our head? Let's bow down our head and say, God, give me this faith. Give me faith. Give me repentance. Give me a new heart. Bow down your head and ask that the Lord should give you a new heart. The Lord should give you a faith. A faith that goes with repentance, a change of heart.
In Jesus' name we've prayed. If you've repented, can you put your hands together for the Lord Jesus? Only those that have repented. If you have not repented, don't clap. Thank you so much, Brother Theophilus. Very interesting teaching, re-emphasizing what our daddy and the Lord taught just before he traveled. The truth is, you can't have saving faith and not repent. That's the truth. If you have genuine saving faith, the first thing it will cause is repentance. But one problem we see in Christianity is many people profess they have faith in Christ and they have not repented. Then, even in a church like this, some people will go for the water baptism, but they have not repented. So it's just evidence that you truly don't yet have saving faith. Because saving faith will, that's why I said they are inseparable twins. Saving faith will automatically cause repentance. When he was speaking, I recalled my own repentance experience. It was in my former church, Redeem. The person didn't even point out wrongdoings as holiness preachers do. He was just talking. And I had saving faith. Then I discovered, I've been going to church, but I'm not really a Christian. I really don't really believe in this Jesus. I've been going to church, but I've not really given my life to him. When he made an altar call, we went for the altar call, many of us, I was there. Now, something happened that night. It was a night. It was in Badagry, Ascon Center, 2020. Something happened that night. When I went back to my seat, the first thing I picked was my phone. And I deleted every worldly song, every worldly video. I deleted everything I knew was defiling me. Then, from my own area, it was a national program for the youth in Redeem. Just representatives from each church. From my own area, we were four. And here was their motivator in living in worldliness. The first thing is they noticed that there was a soberness. Imagine when somebody is asking you that, what has happened to you? They noticed that there was a change. The soberness was so much that I could not even relate with them. I was just sober all through that program. When I got home, my foster mom asked me after a few days. She said, what is wrong? I was living with her then. That did she offend me? She noticed since I came back from this program that I have changed. What is going on? What happened? So my response to her was, nothing, I just want to be more serious with my life. Oh, she said, okay. My point is, nobody even said repent. If they had, would have known that what we are doing is even wrong. But just receiving saving faith produced true repentance. So you cannot say, you can believe unto the Lord Jesus for healing, for deliverance, for other things. That is not saving faith. That is not saving faith. It can give you that. That is not saving faith. But when you receive genuine saving faith, it will definitely produce repentance immediately. So when teachings like this come forth, is to cross-check your own salvation experience to be sure that, yes, the grace, Titus chapter 2 verse 11, Titus chapter 2 verse 11 says something. It says, for the grace of God, our daddy in the Lord has emphasized this scripture very well. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation, Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men. Now, verse 12, what is grace doing? Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust. Are you seeing what grace is doing? So when you say you have received saving faith by the grace of God, it will first produce repentance in you. When you say a Christian who has not repented, such a Christian has not received saving faith. You may be a worker in the church, you may believe, you may even have faith to move mountains, you may have faith to cast out devils, you may have faith to receive from God, you may have faith for your healing, for your prosperity, for your breakthrough. But saving faith will produce genuine repentance. They are automatic. They go hand in hand. May the Lord give us all saving faith this morning in the name of Jesus. If you are happy and you know it, can you put your hands together for the Lord Jesus?